Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and we've just been talking about the rise of the political middle. Later in the program, we'll be taking your calls on creating a moderate manifesto, and we'll do that online in an online chat at 12 o'clock. But in the meantime, the incoming Republican majority of the 112th Congress has selected the chairs for the House committees, and let's just say that many of their choices aren't exactly going to win endorsements from the no-labels crowd. So who are the influential new policymakers, and what can their past records tell us about how their committees will run on their watch? We'll talk about this with Jackie Kucinich, staff writer for Roll Call, and Russell Berman, congressional reporter for The Hill. Jackie and Russell, thanks for coming on today. Hi there.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Let's just run down some of these names real quick. Representative Harold Hal Rogers, congressman from Kentucky, who's been made the head of the House Appropriations Committee. His nickname from the press, the Prince of Pork, which is, of course, what the Appropriations Committee has the power to disperse or dispense. The move is actually drawing some ire from conservatives who feel like the 30-year congressman is not the man to lead real spending reform. What can you tell us, Jackie, about Congressman Rogers?
Well, you know, Congressman Rogers, as you said, has been an appropriator for a long time, and Republicans are facing, because they decided to implement an earmark ban again for the 112th Congress, they're facing a real conundrum here of what these spending committees should even do now. So that's one of the things that Chairman Rogers is going to have to figure out. But as far as him, I mean, you know, all of these guys that ran for chairman, no matter, you know, what anyone says, they all were appropriators. They all have requested earmarks. They've all been proponents of them in the past. Everyone's trying to change their stripes right now. But I think it's important to note, while the right has really attacked Hal Rogers, everyone on the Appropriations Committee has requested earmarks. That's their jobs. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It just that those are the facts.
So, Russell, do you think since Tea Party candidate Jeff Flake, a Republican from Arizona, who is backed by the Tea Party, was selected to serve on the Appropriations Committee as well, Flake is considered one of the most fiscally conservative Republicans in the House and really represents the anti-earmark crowd. Is there going to be some contention within the Republican ranks on the Appropriations Committee?
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch that dynamic between Jeff Flake and the chairman, Hal Rogers. I think Jeff Flake was obviously put on the committee as a nod to the Tea Party, as a nod to the anti-earmark movement. And many Republicans and John Boehner has suggested that the committee is going to be as much a committee or looking for areas to cut spending as it has been traditionally a spending committee. So I think there will be opportunities for Flake to assert himself, and there's probably going to be areas of conflict between Congressman Flake and Chairman Rogers. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Let's go on to one of the rising stars of the Republican Party, Congressman Paul Ryan, who will be the chairman of the all-important Budget Committee. You might remember that it was his long-term budget roadmap that some Republicans found too bleak to support when it was introduced. That plan balances the budget with tax cuts, a move toward privatizing Social Security, and cuts in Medicare. Ryan was on Fox News Sunday yesterday and was asked what he would do to cut the deficit when he takes over as chairman of the House Budget Committee.
Number one, what we're going to do is what the Democrats didn't do. We're going to cut spending. I mean, I find it sort of interesting that after this massive spending spree that took place over the last 2 years, the creation of two new health care entitlements, now there's concern about deficits.
Well, cut spending is a very general phrase. What do you expect from a Paul Ryan-chaired budget committee, Russell?
I expect a lot of fireworks and confrontation. This is going to be one of the more fascinating dynamics to watch because the ranking member, the top Democrat on that committee, is Chris Van Hollen, who is a rising star, has been a rising star in the party. He was the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the chief negotiator on this tax cut deal. And so, you know, Paul Ryan is another rising star, and the budget is going to be the big central issue when the president and Republican leadership in the House try to manage this deficit. So, as you mentioned, the Ryan budget plan did not get an overwhelmingly positive response from either Republicans or Democrats.
Why didn't Republicans like it?
Well, because the Social Security has been historically the third rail of American politics, and so it is still difficult to even for Republicans to embrace sharp cuts to entitlement spending, and that was central to his plan, both in the fronts of Medicare and Social Security. And so, you know, they didn't want, in the midst of this campaign where they had the wind at their backs, they didn't want to give the Democrats an opportunity to make the Ryan budget plan the central Republican platform.
And Jackie, Ryan was on the Obama Deficit Commission and eventually voted against that Simpson-Bowles deficit reduction plan. Why didn't it get his vote? Was he specific in saying why?
You know, Ryan is interesting. He's going to actually face trying to decide whether to be true to himself or whether to be true to the party, because his he said over and over and over again about his roadmap. He says, "No, this is me. This is what I want. This isn't what my party wants." And so, I think one of the things you're going to see with Ryan is just trying to balance his views on fiscal reform versus, you know, what his party can stomach at this point. But I'm guessing that he's going to have a lot more people on his side as far as what needs to be cut, even entitlements, with this new freshman class. A lot of these people are reformers and are willing, or really heavily said, they're willing to do some drastic things to cut spending and to get things done. So I think that's where you're going to see him really just trying to balance those two things.
There's an article in today's New York Times about Congressman Ron Paul, who won't be a new name for many of our listeners, of course. Long on the outside of the Republican Party mainstream, however, he has now been named chairman of the House Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Policy. Paul was on Bloomberg Television's In the Loop on Friday talking about his plans for when he takes over from Congressman Barney Frank.
What I want to do is emphasize the oversight of the Federal Reserve. Pursue this idea of auditing the Fed. We have a right to know. Congress has an obligation to know. The people want to know, and Congress is behind us to do that right now. I think it's also very important for us to understand why monetary policy is so dangerous and why we should think about changing the Fed or getting rid of the Fed, and that is their contribution to unemployment, their contribution to the business cycle. They are the instigators of inflation.
So just after Ben Bernanke has done this $600 billion monetary easing that Ron Paul obviously opposes so much, Jackie, how much trouble is this going to be for the Fed, for the independence of the Fed, with Ron Paul taking this new powerful position?
Well, you know, Roll Call also wrote a story about Ron Paul and his new position on Friday. I thought I'd give us a plug out there.
Sure.
But I think it'll be interesting. I think I don't know that he will get anything done that is tangible. That said, he's going to draw a lot of attention just by virtue of who he is and what he stands for to these issues. And so I think that he might create some heartburn. But, you know, Republican leaders aren't going to mess with Ron Paul. He's got a very strong base out there that speaks loudly both online and with their wallets. And so, you know, he has a platform now that he has not had. And it's going to be interesting to see how much attention he manages to pull toward that committee.
It does say something that he even got this seat, right? Because the last time the Republicans were in charge of the House, he tried for this kind of position and they didn't give it to him.
Well, even more fascinating is he requested earmarks last year, or earlier this year, I'm sorry, after the earmark ban. After Republicans passed an earmark ban, essentially saying none of us are going to take earmarks. But Ron Paul, as long as he's been in Congress, has marched to his own drummer and really has stayed true to what he believes is right. And so I think it just, as he told me last week, you know, now it just happens to be popular. So they're not, it's popular public sentiment. We're going to see a lot of that.
Russell, another incoming committee chair, somebody who is not that well-known around the country, certainly well-known in politics circles, but not well-known to the general public. But he may become a household name, and that's Daryl Issa, Republican from California, who is going to be taking control of the panel on oversight and government reform. And I know some people think that he's going to start investigating the Obama administration in all kinds of ways from this perch and bring a lot of attention to those investigations. Are you expecting that?
Yes, that's exactly what we're expecting. He's promised this. He's written an entire a manifesto, in fact, on how he views the role of congressional oversight, and it's certainly going to be aggressive. What's interesting is that the Obama administration is anticipating this. They dispatched Joe Biden to meet with him a couple of weeks ago. They met for an hour. They put out a joint statement, and with the idea being that, you know, the administration is going to try to mitigate some of these investigations, and to, you know, for ISA himself, he's also tried to downplay the extent to which these investigations might go in, you know, every which way. He wants to concentrate on government waste, on spending waste. You'll see a lot about the stimulus package in there and where that money has gone. And because they don't want to repeat the mistakes that many Republicans feel the party made in the past, where, you know, they investigated the Clinton administration to the point of impeaching the president, and then, of course, the Democrats won more seats in the House, and it backfired. So they're going to It's going to be interesting to see how far ISA goes and how confrontational things get, but there will certainly be a lot of confrontation.
So, Daryl, ISA and investigations are going to be very interesting to watch next year as we look at some of the incoming Republican House Committee and Subcommittee chairs. I'm not going to dwell on Peter King because our listeners know him. He's a local congressman, and he's retaken the chairmanship of the Homeland Security Committee, an issue he's been very interested in, obviously, since 9/11 in our area, and he had that chairmanship before the Democrats took Congress. Now he's got it back. Representative Fred Upton from Michigan has been selected to lead the Energy and Commerce Committee, and he won that over Joe Barton. Barton, people may remember, sought a return to that seat, but he was the guy who apologized to BP during a committee hearing on the Gulf Coast oil spill. Jackie, did that sink his chances?
Yeah, he already was kind of on probation with House Republican leaders, and he was. What I was told is that, you know, he was cautioned not to do that, and it happened anyway. And so I think that was kind of he was on thin ice, and then he fell through. And he also, on top of it, had run out of his term limits. You can serve 3 consecutive 2-year terms as a Republican ranking member or chairman. He was at the end of his rope anyway, so he would have to have had special permission from the Republican steering committee to even keep that position. So I think they used this, the term limits especially, just to bid him adieu this time.
And Jackie, briefly on a couple of committee chairs who may have an impact on some of the culture war questions, Congressman Joe Pitts, Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health. He's a staunch opponent to funding abortion, and I gather he may try to revisit the health care law to try to block any subsidy for any private insurance plan that even includes abortion coverage. And then we have Buck McKean, new chair of the Armed Services Committee, and I gather that's not good news for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So what can you tell us about either of these?
Joe Pitts, for example, I mean, the Republicans want to repeal and replace the entire health care bill. What he wants to do, Fred Upton has given him his blessing. His appointment was, which was one of the first things Upton did once he won, was a nod to the right, who had been very critical of Upton for some of his stances on stem cells, for example, and some of his record on pro-life issues. As far as McKeon and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I mean, that bill has so many problems in other places. I don't think he's going to be the linchpin there. There's been a lot of resistance on a lot of fronts in the House and the Senate for that.
And there we will have to leave it. Anybody else, Russell? Who didn't I mention who's worth throwing in here in about a half a minute?
Well, Spencer Baucus is going to be the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, taking over for Barney Frank, and he's promised to look through the Wall Street Reform Bill to, quote, correct, replace, or repeal any provisions that are too burdensome on businesses. And so that will be interesting to watch. The administration, of course, is going to heavily resist any effort to change that bill.
Jackie, any other one I left out of your choice?
I think you've hit all the good ones. Honestly, there, Doc Hastings, the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, has tried to make a play for the energy jurisdiction of the Energy and Commerce Committee, so he could, and that would, you know, make a lot of changes in that committee. It's just interesting because these little turf battles are our bread and butter over at Roll Call. We're not sure if it's going to happen yet, but it's something to watch.
All right. Russell Berman, congressional reporter for The Hill, and Jackie Kucinich, staff writer for Roll Call. Thank you very much for coming on. That was really interesting briefing us on the incoming Republican House committee chairs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, we will preview our 12 noon online chat for those of you interested in the no labels kind of movements to build a moderates manifesto. And we'll start taking those calls on the air in just a minute. And also, we've been putting out the call for anybody who has moderate political jokes. There are plenty of liberal jokes out there, plenty of conservative jokes out there. This is why this movement might fail. There are no centrist or moderate political jokes. So if you have one, you can call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll take a few calls with what you might put in a moderates manifesto before we move over to the website and do this in an online chat. Stay with us.